is who you are.
Oh, Father,
that is who you are.
We declare you today, that Heavenly Father. You're the Almighty God. You're a miracle worker. And Lord, you're our miracle worker in our lives, for you've transformed us from darkness into light, sin to righteousness, Lord, from a selfishness, hatred, fear into love. We thank you, Lord God, you're changing us. Hallelujah. This day, doing a work in us. Father, we yield ourselves to you today in the fear of the Lord, for the Holy Spirit's work to be done by the power of the Word of God. Lord, may it just charge our inner man, strengthen us, give us wisdom today from your Word. We thank you for it, Father. Father, we set ourselves, we receive our brother Pradeep, a sent from the Lord, a gift from you, Lord God. We open our heart to receive the Word you put in his heart, Lord, to minister to us, to strengthen us, to complete the work you've begun. We thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. We can be seated for a moment. We're blessed to have Brother Pradeep Pereira, dear friend from Sri Lanka, and his wife, Jeevani, and son, Joshua. If you want to stand a minute, and we just want to bless them, receive them. Hallelujah. We thank you for coming and being with us. That's their first time in the U.S. here in Pennsylvania. Of course, Pradeep's been here many times. You can be seated again. And Pradeep's, of course, been here many times to bless us. And we have had great times of fellowship in the Lord. I rejoice over all that's being done in their lives and their family. And in the church there in Kandy, Sri Lanka, the ministry there, and the evangelistic work going out through the land. So we want to just receive Brother Pradeep and what the God has to share with us through him. So Pradeep, if you want to come, I'll just stay seated here. Hand off to you.
Thank you, Pastor Bill. A joy to be here this morning, and lovely to see every one of you this morning. And even as Pastor Bill was sharing, it's a blessing to have my wife and Joshua with us to travel on this trip. And as he said, it was their first time. They are thoroughly enjoying themselves coming here to the United States. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this morning. I thank you for each and every person who's here this morning to hear your word, oh God. Holy Spirit, I thank you for the river that is flowing in this sanctuary. Lord, I thank you that for your presence. We thank you for the marvelous worship this morning, Lord. We thank you for the very atmosphere here. Lord, I pray that you would continue your work this morning. Lord, I pray that you would just use me as your messenger this morning to bring your word to your people this morning. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Holy Spirit, have your own way, that you touch each and everyone in a profound manner. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen. Can I have the volume up a little bit more? This morning, I want to speak to you. Donna asked me what the message title was. Normally, I don't have a message title. I usually get my messages early in the morning on Sundays, which is not the best thing, but it's worked for me for 25 years or maybe 30 years. But this morning, the title of my message is titled as Joy Ahead. Joy Ahead. My wife and I and my son, we've been here in America, traveling around, visiting various places. It's been a vacation time. So I was not coming to York, Pennsylvania to speak, as you may, but I was specifically coming to see all of you and Pastor Bill and Donna during this week, because we were planning to go to Sri Lanka on the 1st of May, but something told me to extend, and so I have not spoken anywhere. This is the first time I'm speaking in like 3 weeks. So, but our intention was to come and see them and greet all of you and bring well wishes from Sri Lanka. So he asked me to come and speak this morning. So thankfully, I want to share a word that God has put on my heart. As we were traveling to different places, one of the places we went was we were in the Bahamas a few weeks ago. And as we were traveling there on this ship, every evening they had a karaoke evening. I don't sing karaoke. Do I look like I'm a karaoke singer? So one of our friends who was traveling with us, she used to sing for Benny Hinn in her choir. So she was very eager to sing at the karaoke session. So she called me and then Joshua, and we got together and we went to the man there and we asked, can we sing gospel? He said, yes. So we sang How Great Is Our God. Well, everybody else was singing pop and hip-hop and all kinds of different songs. We sang How Great Is Our God. And it was an amazing reception that evening. People were praising and worshiping God on that ship. And at the end, something amazing happened. I was shocked. Everybody got up and gave us a standing ovation. So I believe that was the presence of the Holy Spirit. So we should never be shy. We should never underestimate the opportunities that God puts in front of us. However it may look like, we can use a gift. I don't lead worship. I've never led worship. I'm not like Randy. But worship is in our heart. Amen. Wherever you go, you can worship the Lord. And I just let it come out. Pastor Bill was saying, what's in your heart will begin to come out. And we just love that to come out. I loved what God has put in our hearts to come out. And the second night, we did the same thing. We sang, How Great Is Our God. And again, it was people just were worshiping. And people in the audience came and sang with us. And they asked us, what's the name of your group? And I said, we have no name. It's gospel singing, singing for Jesus. So praise God. It's been a great trip. And not only that, we've had many opportunities where we've been able to share Christ with people. And on that ship, we saw so many nationalities, Indians, people from Nepal, Sri Lankans, Filipinos, and the Lord, you know, just loved us to minister to people whenever we could. We were not forcing it down them. But the last day we were going, I met a young guy in the toilet. And I started talking to him. He was from Zimbabwe. So I said, I'm a missionary in Sri Lanka. And he said, can you pray for me? So I prayed for him. And I had a word of knowledge, and he started crying inside the toilet. And my brother came in, and he was wondering, what's going on? Everywhere you guys go, it's a meeting. So it was God. Hallelujah. So I'm thankful to the Lord that wherever we go, we can be a witness for him. Amen. Whether it's a toilet, whether it's a karaoke place. I never expected to go into a karaoke bar and sing, but my friend was very zealous. And my mom said, now is the time to do it. My mom is almost 80 years old. And she was, she said, you got to do it. So, so really thankful that we are able to come here today. We've been in Orlando, Florida, in Tampa, Florida. And then my nephew was getting married up in New Jersey. We were up there in New Jersey. And this is our last stop, and we fly back to Sri Lanka tomorrow, tomorrow afternoon. So let's turn our Bibles this morning to the book of Luke chapter 24, Luke chapter 24. And I'll be reading from, Luke chapter 24, and from verse 13. So, in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 to 2, Jesus said, he said, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin which clings so closely, and let us run the race with endurance, the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of God. Hallelujah. The Bible says in Nehemiah 8:10 that the joy of the Lord is my strength. See, God has joy for us, and joy is always connected with our purpose. And Jesus knew his purpose. He knew what he was called to do. And the Bible says that he saw the cross as a joyful thing. Even as Pastor Bill was sharing about trials, when we have perspective of the trial that we are going through, or the testing that we are going through, God will give us joy. There's supernatural joy that is available to us. He gives us a grace to go through the test and the trials that that comes our way. And Jesus was looking joyfully to the cross. And this morning I want to share about that, about joy that is ahead of us. But before joy that is ahead of us, you know, there's always trouble. Because the enemy, the devil, is a joy robber. He wants to rob your joy. He wants to rob the peace that is working in you. He wants to rob the glory, the anointing that is upon your life. And he wants to bring, you know, sadness. And that's the work of the enemy. The Bible says the enemy comes to kill, to steal, and to destroy. But Jesus came to give us life, and life more abundantly. The Bible says in Psalms chapter 16, verse 11, that in his presence there's fullness of joy. Hallelujah. Fullness of joy. So here in the book of Luke chapter 24, in verse 13, we see now that on the same day, two of them were going together to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still. Their faces were downcast. One of them, named Cleophas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and in deed, before God and all the people. And the chief priests and all the rulers handed him over and sentenced him to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all that this took place. In addition, some of the women amazed us. They went to the tomb early in the morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that he had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus. He said to them, how foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter into his glory? And the beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going farther. But they urged him strongly, stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over. So he went on to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread and gave thanks and broke it and began to give it to them. Then their eyes opened and recognized him and he disappeared from their sight. And they asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? They got up and returned once to Jerusalem. And there they found the 11, those with them, assembled together and saying, it is true, the Lord is risen, and he has appeared to Simon. And then the two told what happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke bread. While they were still talking about them, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, peace be with you. They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, why are you troubled? Why do you doubt? Why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have. When he had said these things, he showed his hands and feet, and while they still did not believe it because of the joy and amazement, he asked them, do you have anything here to eat? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish. And he asked it, and he ate it in their presence. He said to them, this is what I've told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled, what is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. Then he opened their minds and they could understand the scriptures. He told them, this is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance for forgiveness of sins will be preached in my name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised. But stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from high. Here we see two people are walking together, and the Bible says that they were downcast. They were brokenhearted. They were very sad. Perhaps this morning you've come to church and there's something that is troubling you. There's something that has happened. Maybe it was last week or maybe 2 weeks ago, maybe something that has troubled your heart. Perhaps you feel sad. And these two men were so sad and brokenhearted because the Messiah, Jesus, the prophet, is dead. All their hope was gone. And they were wondering, what is next? Sometimes in life, we wonder, you know, is our hope gone? Because we feel sad. We feel that our hope is gone. In my nation, it's like one day it's up and one day it's down. We had COVID and then we had an economic collapse in our nation. We had shortage of gas, electric shortages. So it's always up and down, up and down. And now the elections are coming up in our nation, and everybody is planning to vote for a leader who's going to bring communism, you know, full-on communism. So there's a lot of fear. And these two men were so downcast because in what they believed and what they hoped for is all gone, is dead. And we see that Jesus spoke about all these things, and they were walking away. Jerusalem is a place of promise, but Emmaus is a place of obscurity. And when you walk away from the promise, what God has put in us, it'll bring obscurity, and it'll bring sadness. It'll bring desolation. They were walking away from their God-given mandate and the promise that God had put in them. And they were sad. And in the natural, they were discussing how can we reason out? What's going to happen? What is our future? So many people are wondering what their future is going to be. In our nation too, that's a very important subject about the future. So the nation of Sri Lanka, my nation, is very open to the gospel right now because people need answers. And we can tell people about Jesus in the midst of sadness, in the midst of despair, in the midst of bad news going around. No hope whatsoever. Things are always up and down. And people are struggling. There's a daily struggle that takes place in our nation. And these conversations were going on between Cleophas and his friend. And as they were talking and going, there was somebody who came to who came alongside them, and that was Jesus. Jesus started listening to them and started walking with both of them. And the Bible says that as they continued to talk with him, and Jesus was challenging both of them, rebuking them. But as evening came, they asked Jesus to come to their house. And that's the most important thing. Whatever we go through, we may go through sadness, we may go through difficulties, and we may go through some of the hardest trials in our lives. But these two men, they constrained Jesus to come into their home. They had contact with Jesus. In the Bible, in Matthew chapter 28, in the first few verses, we see that the Bible says that early in the morning, Mary went and she was seeking Jesus. She wanted Jesus. But there was a big tomb. There was a big stone in front of the tomb of Jesus. Many times, beloved, there are obstacles in front of our lives. There are difficulties. And we wonder, how do I get through this difficulty? How do I get through this obstacle? But when we have contact, when we seek the Lord early in the morning, the Bible says that we will find him. Psalms 34, verse 4, it says, when I seek him, he will answer me. Hallelujah. I sought the Lord, and he answered me. Hallelujah. And he delivered me from all my fears. God will begin to deliver us from all our fears. Whatever fear that is coming at you, even as Pastor Bill was sharing and Randy was sharing, faith is there.
Hallelujah.
The enemy can't rob my faith. Only I can give it to him. But he can't rob my faith.
Hallelujah.
But Mary came early in the morning. She put God first. She was seeking Jesus. Beloved, whatever you're going through this morning, I'm here to tell you that we need Jesus. Hallelujah. We need him. These two men, they constrained Jesus to come. The Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5:14, the love of God constrains me. Hallelujah. It grips me. Are you hungry for Jesus this morning? Hallelujah. Are you hungry for him? Are you calling upon the name of Jesus this morning? It's all about him. Asking him to come into your situation. Wherever you are, whatever you're going through. Mary, who was going early in the morning, she was downcast. She was really sad. But she was seeking Jesus. And there was this big stone in front. Beloved, when we seek him, supernatural things are going to happen. Hallelujah. And that's the life of the Christian. This is not religion. Supernatural things are going to happen. Hallelujah. When we seek him. Mary went early in the morning. She knew there was a big storm that's going to be there. And suddenly there was an earthquake that came. Get ready. When we seek him, when we connect with Jesus, what happens is supernatural things will happen. Amen. Whatever the obstacle that's in front of you, you may think, oh, I can't get through that. It's so difficult. In my nation, to do outreaches is so difficult. It's impossible. It's not possible. It's like you're asking for trouble. Come and attack me. You can't do that. But when we are seeking him, when we are seeking Jesus, the obstacles will be removed. He does it supernaturally. And here the earthquake came. And with the earthquake came an angel. If you read Matthew 28, an angel came. Hallelujah. God will begin to send angelic, there'll be angelic visitations. Hallelujah. Angel, a host of angels will come to protect you, to be with you, to go before you, to comfort you, to strengthen you, to guard you, to lead you. There are angels that God releases. Hallelujah. When we connect with Jesus. Hallelujah. And not only that, beloved, God releases a supernatural because we are New Testament believers. Even as Randy was saying, we are baptized in the Holy Spirit, not only in the Holy Spirit, but Holy Spirit and fire. Amen. You're not a Baptist, right? Anybody Baptist here? Holy Spirit and fire. I know I have the freedom to say that because this is not a Baptist church. This is a Holy Ghost church. That's what Randy was saying. Holy Spirit and fire. Hallelujah. That's what the supernatural is. And angels, God will begin to release supernaturally angels on behalf of you. And these angels who come supernaturally are not going to just wait and watch, but they see what you're going through. They see the dilemma, they see the obstacles, they see the difficulties that you are undergoing right now. And the angels are going to sit on top of that. Hallelujah. Amen. They're going to sit on top of that. They're going to take over whatever that's troubling you, whatever that's attacking you. The angels of heaven are going to come, and they're going to take over that obstacle. The Bible says that when Mary went, the angel of God sat on top of that stone. Hallelujah. Whatever that obstacle is in front of you, whatever the opposition to your God-given mission, God is going to send an angel. Hallelujah. He's going to sit on top of that opposition. He's going to sit on top of the obstacle. Hallelujah. Whatever the enemy will throw at you, it's only a matter of time. Hallelujah. That we'll see God supernaturally undertake for you and I as we seek Him, as we seek Jesus, our Messiah, the author and the finisher of our faith. Hallelujah. These two men, they did something amazing. They called upon Jesus. They said, I want you. Beloved, are you hungry for Him this morning? Lord Jesus, I want you. I don't want a little bit of you. I want all of you, Jesus. I want you to come into my house. I want you to come into my life. I want you to come into my family. I want you to come into my children's life. I want you to come into my workplace. Jesus, I need you in my ministry. I need you. Hallelujah. They called upon the name of the Lord. They said, Jesus, you come into my house. Hallelujah. And that makes the difference. Everything else, you know, will be history because He takes over. Hallelujah. And I speak that over your life this morning. Hallelujah. They called upon Jesus. And He is the one who initiates and restores, brings healing, bring answers to all of the difficulties that we go through. He is the answer. He has the answer. Christ is the answer. As we were driving here on the roads of Pennsylvania, there were boards. They say, Christ is the answer. Hallelujah. You won't find that in New York City. But yes, in Pennsylvania, you will find it. He is the answer. Hallelujah. Secondly, they had a conversation with Jesus. They were talking to Him. He was not only there as an idol or something, but He's the living God. He has risen from the dead. Hallelujah. He has conquered death. And now He's the living God. And He is there for us to talk and to have a conversation. That's why Christianity is so powerful, that we have a living God, a living Savior, who speaks to us, who leads us, who guides us. Hallelujah. That's why the Bible says that my sheep hear my voice. God is speaking to us. God is leading us. So He will speak to us. Hallelujah. No matter how dark, how difficult in what we go through, there's light at the end of the tunnel. The enemy wants to say that there is no light. This is how life is going to be. No, he's a liar. He's a liar. God, there is light at the end of the tunnel. When we started out ministry as missionaries in Sri Lanka, you know, 18 years ago, there was so much of difficulty. There was so much of sadness. And it was one thing after the other. But as we continued to stay in love with Jesus, we saw supernatural things, you know, start to take place in our own lives and in our ministries as well. The Bible says in Haggai chapter 2, verse 9, the glory of the latter house is going to be greater than the glory of the former house. Amen. And as we continue to walk with Jesus, yes, we go through trials. Yes, we go through the testing times. But God will always produce a testimony. We may go through a messy time, but God will, out of that mess, He brings a beautiful, powerful message that changes lives, that touches people. Hallelujah. And we need to talk to Him. The Bible says that draw nigh to me, and I will draw near to you. Hallelujah. And every time we draw near to Him, He's going to speak to us. Hallelujah. And that communion is so important. And the moment, you know, Jesus opened up the scriptures and they had this communion together, it's not only just having a conversation, but they had communion. It says, come and be united with me. Amen. That's what it is. Come and be united. People say, I want to come. And they come, but they're not united with you. There's something wrong with that. That's called religion. You want to be around religious people? You get really frustrated. They tell you, I want to come, Pastor. And they do come, but they're not united. The Bible says, how can two walk together unless they agree? Amen? And that's what communion is all about. And Jesus started opening up the scriptures and He started speaking to them. And once they were, you know, in communion with Jesus, what happened was they started to burn. They started to burn with the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. That's what the Bible says. That's what communion is all about. You start to burn. Burn with passion. Burn with holy passion. So God can turn around our difficulties, our trials, and He can turn it around into great triumphs. We don't have to be victims, but we are going to be victorious in Christ Jesus. Amen. So our darkest times, our sorrows, the sad things that we go through, there's a purpose for it. God has given us a promise. He says in Mark chapter 16, He said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Whoever believes and be baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name they will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands. And when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on the sick, and they will get well. After the Lord Jesus had spoken to them, He was taken up into heaven, and He sat at the right hand of God. Then the disciples went out and preached everywhere, and the Lord worked with them and confirmed His word with signs that accompanied it. See, through all the difficulties that we go through and the troubles and the trials, there's always something, there's a purpose. God starts this with a promise. But the enemy doesn't want us to live out that promise. He wants us to be sad like these two men who are going on the way to Emmaus. walking away from their purpose, walking away from their promise. Even when Jesus was walking with them, they didn't recognize that because they were blind. They were not aware of the presence of God. People are not aware. They come to church and they're unchanged. The person next to them are completely changed. They're crying. They're weeping. They're repenting. The other person is que sera, sera. Just nothing changes. And that's what Pastor Bill was talking. The person that is unchanged is in a backslidden state. What a statement that was. It's in a backslidden state. Person who does not change. But the presence of God, it changes us. You know, these two men, you know, they received what Jesus had for them. They received the rebuke. They received the word. And the presence of God, you know, began to burn within them. Hallelujah. It's the presence of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. It's the presence of God that started to burn. The Bible says that he will baptize with the Holy Spirit and fire. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. And they started to burn with fire. And as they were burning with fire, Jesus disappeared. And what did these two men do? They went everywhere and started telling about what they had experienced. They were filled with great joy. Beloved, I'm here to declare great joy, but it's linked with your purpose in fulfilling the Great Commission. You know, in going to your neighbor, going wherever God has called us to tell people about Jesus. And that's the greatest joy that we will have ever, is to fulfill our purpose, is to walk in the purpose. No matter what we are going through, don't give up on the promise of God. He tells us to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And we don't have to go across the world to India or Sri Lanka or Albania. God will do that. God can take us to any country, but our mission field can be right next door. It can be the next county. It can be the next town. God can do that. And God is releasing his grace upon you and I in this hour to fulfill the Great Commission. So whatever you're going through this morning, whatever the difficulty, that God, even as Pastor Bill was saying, he's going to make a way. He's the miracle worker. He is the promise keeper. That is who he is. You know, he will fulfill his promise for your life. This world is coming to an end. And we can see that. And people need the Lord. And you and I are called to herald the gospel. No matter what I have gone through in Sri Lanka, my wife and I, the difficulties, the trials, and I'm not here this morning to tell you sad stories. I'm here to tell you about joy. Joy ahead of you. Hallelujah. I'm not here to tell you sad stories, to make you really sad. But God turns our mourning into dancing. Hallelujah. And that's what we were doing this morning. Hallelujah. He turns our mourning into dancing because of the gospel. He's called us to share the gospel wherever we go. And whatever you and I have been through, whatever difficulty that you're going through this morning, God is going to turn it around into something good. Oral Roberts says, something good is going to happen to you. And I was seated there, and what is this good? I was only a student, 21 years old. What is this good he's talking about? Only now I realize what he was talking about. Something good is going to happen to you. Hallelujah. Isn't that true? Isn't that amazing? Go into all the world and preach the gospel wherever God is calling you to preach. You know, in my field in Sri Lanka, we've been preaching the gospel for the last 18 years. But now, through all the difficulties we've gone through, now it's the stepping stone of the harvest. Amen. It's Kairos time. And no matter what the challenges we face, I know my eye is on the harvest. My eyes are on the harvest fields. The fields are ripe. I'm seeing it with my own eyes. And I'm not, you know, overly zealous to run into that, but I know the right time that God will send us into those fields at the right time so that we can reap the harvest. And the harvest is ripe, beloved. I'm here to tell you that. And God is going to send you, hallelujah, to reap the harvest in this nation and in the nations of the world. And last year, I believe that 1,200 people got saved in our outreaches and campaigns. And through our mission work, going to different villages, unreached villages, difficult churches, jungle churches, we reached over 10,000 people in doing Holy Spirit rallies and humanitarian aid, food supplies. But it doesn't stop there. There's much more people that God wants us to reach, you and I to reach, here in York County, Lancaster County, you know, in different cities around here, and in the nations of the world. Hallelujah. So no matter what the enemy is doing right now, God is going to make a way for you. You will triumph through the trial that you're going through. He is the way maker and the miracle worker. Hallelujah. There's joy in front of you. There's joy ahead of you. Hallelujah. Let's rise to our feet this morning. Let's just praise God. Just begin to thank Him for what He has, for the joy that is ahead of us. Hallelujah. For the joy that is ahead of you. Father, I just thank you, Father, for each and every person this morning, Lord. Thank you, Lord God. I release that joy. The joy of the Lord is our strength, O God. In the mighty name of Jesus, we bless you. We praise you this morning, O God. Thank you, Lord God, for the harvest fields. Thank you, Lord, for the missionaries in this church that are going to go into the harvest fields in this county, in the next state, in the next city, oh God, in the high schools, in the universities. Thank you, Lord, for the missionaries, Lord, that are going to burn with your spirit, burn with your word, oh God. Thank you, Father God. I bless the mission. I bless this church. I bless every individual, oh God. Thank you, Lord God, for the nations that are opening up, hallelujah, to the people in this church, oh God. I bless this church. I bless Pastor Bill and Donna and the leadership and the church today, oh God. There's joy ahead of us, oh God. We declare that today, oh God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen and amen. Amen.
Oh, Father. Father, we give you praise and glory today, Father, for the challenge of the Holy Spirit to lift up our eyes, Lord, to see the fields ripen to harvest. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We see the fields ripe. We thank you, Father God, for leading and guiding us even to our own streets, our own neighbors, people that are round about. Hallelujah. We believe for divine appointments, Father. Lord, you just open doors. Help us to stay sensitive in spirit, to walk through the open doors. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for Brother Pradeep and his family. And Father, we can share in the work with them. Lord, and praying for them as we do and blessing them financially. Father, we just set our hearts, Father God, to for direction from your Holy Spirit, Lord, to bless them. Father, we pray they be strengthened in the power of God. Lord, as Brother Pradeep's emptied himself today, to fill him up today. Lord, may the time of rest for he and his family be very profitable, Lord, as it nears an end. But Lord, just bring refreshing to their spirit, refreshing to their soul, strength to their bodies. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you as we sow into that ministry that we'll be blessed to continue to live the life of givers. We rejoice, Father, at the opportunity today. In the name of Jesus.